Blog Talk Radio.
Why not? Let's do it again. Yes, those hills are alive, all right, and they have eyes, and they're watching you and me and Dave here at Erie House Radio. Yes, the hills have eyes, and they're watching you, and we'll be listening to them tonight with two, count them, two great radio tales for a Saturday night. I am Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with...
I am confused, but I am Dave Bickley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One.
And we're accompanied by...
You know, talking
by?
About that, I... well, we were. He stopped by before the broadcast as our buddy Gar. He's feeling better. He's going to be doing his own show later tonight for good old Bob and Fox Bane in the room there. Good evening, guys. And, you know, it reminded me, you talk about the hills have eyes. It reminded me of from... the Sam Neill two-part miniseries Merlin, and in it there was this mountain that not only had eyes but had a mouth, and it would talk. It was, of course, it was part of it was done in association with the Henson Creature Workshop.
I was going to say, I can almost picture like Fraggle Rock or something there.
Yeah, but it was all serious. I mean, this is Sam Neill played Merlin. Very wonderful miniseries. And I'm not really into that area, the Robin Hood, the Merlin, and all that kind of stuff. But I truly enjoyed that.
Yep. Another mountainous scare. And we got two of them for you tonight. One from X-1 and a show called Sleep No More.
Yep, so prepare not to sleep tonight or ever again after you hear that show.
Isn't that creepy, Dave?
Okay, you can go to sleep. It depends on how easily you have nightmares, I guess. I don't know.
I have them every day. What's one more? All right.
I know your pain. I know your pain.
Yeah, it's good to come back to science fiction here with some X-1.
Yes, and I know this is one that you're apparently not familiar with. I know you know most of the X-1s, but this is one that you weren't really familiar with.
No, and I'm looking forward to it tonight. I know it's one of Gar's favorites.
It's one of Gar's least favorites, yeah.
I know.
But it's an interesting, it's kind of like, you know, it sticks with me like the Roads Must Roll when those guys are singing, the Union guys are singing the Roads Must Roll song, you know. It's kind of what we're going to get in a sense tonight with a blind folk singing rocket engineer.
Oh,
how's that?
Blind Melon Martian.
Wonder what kind of drink you have to get that to see that one.
I have no idea. Going to get my rocket and go to space.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little closer to than the blues number you was doing, you know, but yeah.
Thumping on the floor with his bare foot. This is folk, not blues.
Yeah. So we got the Green Hills of Earth from X-1, and then later... we'll have Sleep No More, and make sure there'll be a quiz, so don't go to sleep. And Over the Hill, which is what Dale and I are quickly approaching.
What do you mean approaching?
I'm
the thing is, when you get over
a
hill, it starts speeding up, man. And this bike ain't got no brakes. But a fun ride it is through Erie House Radio.
Yep.
God, this is show number 512, and we brought you well over 1,000 different shows. by now.
And on top of that, our one-hour version that airs on the radio reading service is quickly approaching 190 one-hour episodes that we've shared with the blind on the service for the blind.
Yep. So, always great to help out.
All over the place.
Yep.
We are.
And we might as well get, like I said, I'm anxious for the return of some sci-fi, such as it is with the Green Hills of Earth. And this one is from?
July 7th, 1955.
Countdown for blast off. X minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction, presents
X minus one.
Tonight's story, The Green Hills of Earth. The men who pioneer the trade routes of the world, the sailors of the clipper ships, the whaling men, railroaders, black gangs on the tramp steamers, all have their own stories and song about dangers and struggles of their lives.
This is the story of Riesling, the blind singer of the spaceways. When I first met him, he was hustling drinks in the Twin Moons bar at Dry Waters Mars. He'd won a guitar off a Chinese barkeep at Luna City by cheating at one thumb. And he made his whiskey by singing in the bar and passing the hat.
Hey, listen to a Hertzman. Don't you sing pretty? Like a 16-year-old gal.
Hey, Riesling, look over there at the bar. There's an Institute four-striper giving you the idea, you know?
Manner of speaking. Cold-looking scoundrel, ain't he?
Mm.
Gives the idea he graduated Harriman Space Institute, three men above St. Peter.
Who is he?
Captain Hicks off the Ghost Show.
Yeah, well, he sure gives you the once-over. Maybe he's got a job.
That don't make never no mind to me. I've been blacklisted. Hicks logged me for making up a song on watch. Right by song, too.
Oh, the skipper is a father to his crew.
Yeah, well, hold on. Here comes old Brassard.
Oh, Riesling, I've been looking for you.
You've kept your nose clean, and we're going to give you another chance to get back to deep space.
Been a little changing down aft in the Gorshawk, ain't you, skipper?
How'd you know that?
You got that new atomic pile drive.
If there's been a leak at the shop,
sir... Oh, take it easy, Skip. You'll have that gold braid just a-crawling right up your arm.
Quit stalling, Riesling. Take it or leave it. It's a loop trip to Jupiter with the standard release.
I reckon... Double pay when you get back, if you get back. Last three of them atomic tea kettles blew somewhere in the asteroids.
If you're scared.
Scared? Well, that Gorshawk is one stinking old tub. Her engine's got more bugs than a beagle dog in spring. And her new drive's about as safe as a pretty gal in the Ozarks. But I reckon she'll do for one more trip.
Riesling. Hi, Jimmy Legs. Meet my friend Hertzman. He can't hold his liquor no more than a sieve, poor boy.
Riesling, you sober enough to sign the book?
Drunk or sober, I make my mark. Stand aside.
Three X's?
Took me a middle name.
Ha, ha, ha. You two lay below. And Hertzman,
yeah?
Get him sobered up before the skipper makes rounds. Cargo stowed, Captain. Fuel lines away and ready.
Good, Casey. What's that?
What it? Oh, that's a guitar, I guess.
If it's that shoeless hillbilly, I'm going to tell him...
Hi, Skipper.
Riesling, what the devil are you doing up here?
That number two jet ain't fit. Cadmium dampers are warped. Crooked like a turtle's back.
Well, why tell me? Tell the chief engineer.
I did. He says they'll hold.
Well?
He's wrong.
Oh, he's wrong, eh? He's got a Harriman Institute degree in electronics and power. And some drunk space rat says he's wrong.
Skipper, I was damping jets when that shirt-tailed tad wore pins for buttons.
I got no time for you, Riesling. Scratch your name off the book and
no,
get
no,
out.
No, don't get excited.
Well, are you shipping or not?
I reckon.
Then get below. That's all. Casey, sound takeoff.
Aye, sir. Come on, boys.
On a Hawk-class clunker in those days, damping was done by hand with a multiplying vernier and a danger peeper. Jetmen slept with one ear tuned to that, and as long as the peeper ticked off slow and steady, we knew the ship was safe, for a while. Riesling, you better stow that guitar. If Jimmy Legs catches you, he'll blow a gasket.
Don't worry, I could damp this tea kettle in my sleep.
Yeah, how's number two?
All right, so far. Say, did you ever hear that song about Hicks? The one that got me blacklisted?
No. Oh, the skipper is the father of his crew. A gentle guide and light to me and you. But on Mars he likes his women if they walk or if they're swimming or if they got six arms instead of two.
Second verse is better.
Yeah. The skipper likes his liquor by the quart. Yeah, he'd go from Mars to Venus for a snort. He'll drink rocket fuel and...
Well, hi, Skipper. Didn't see you come in.
You were too busy, eh? Who's watching the gauge?
I got an eye on it. Don't you fret none.
Reasonably, I'm going to fix it so you couldn't get a space berth on a rocket-powered pogo stick. You're locked. Report to Casey under arrest.
I don't rightly think I will, Skipper.
You what?
Well, you kind of forget, Skipper. According to space code, you can't remove a jetman till the end of the watch, right?
You tell me I... Reasonably, your ship is over at 2300. And I'll see you ride the rest of the way in slop locker.
Maybe, maybe. In the meantime, you clear out of my power room. I gotta make me up a third verse from a song.
Yeah, I got it. Power room.
Damp number two appoint.
Number two, I...
Hold on, Hertzman. Jimmy Legs, is that force drive boil up there?
Give me that, Casey. Riesling, I've taken about enough from you.
And I got a little news for you, Skipper. Number two jet is bulging like a fat lady in a satin skirt.
Listen, you clown. Damp number two a point.
Why, sure. Look out, Hertzman. I'll take it. You watch the gauge. Now.
Yeah. He's riding easy here.
He's bucking a little.
What? What?
Riesling, aren't you? Hit the emergency!
All right!
She won't damp. It's that warp.
Yeah.
There go the light. Duck her!
Stop, Riesling!
Down behind the baffle. I've got to take a look.
It's radio active. Look out.
I've got to fish the hot stuff out of the tube.
What's going on down there?
Shut up, Jimmy Lane. I'm busy. She's tight now.
What happened?
Number two blew your lunk-headed space rat.
You all right?
A little sunburn. Lights are gone. What's the matter with the emergency circuits?
Riesling,
Jimmy Lane, get some lights down here. It's dark. Get the emergency light on.
But they're on, Riesling. They went on right after the blast. The lights are on.
What are you talking about? Dark. Jimmy Legs. Jimmy Legs, turn on the lights. Turn on the lights.
That blue, radioactive glow from the jets was the last thing Riesling ever saw. His optic nerve was burned out in an instant. He was in sick bay on the rest of the trip, and on the swing back, we set Riesling down at dry water. I ran into Riesling about 2 months later, playing his guitar on a jetty that ran out into the canal. He had a dirty rag tied over his eyes with a jetman's knot, and his hat was on the wharf beside him. And when he finished, we walked out along the canal.
Yeah, I'm doing right fine. Working saloons mostly. But I've been singing some funny songs, Hertzman. The words come out different than they used to. Come on along the canal with me.
Sure. Here, take my arm.
I know the way. That's another funny thing, Hertzman. I figure I know it better than other folks. Look back there, toward the city. What do you see?
Well, new factory buildings.
You could smell them from here.
I still remember them old Martian towers. Old before Bible times on Earth. Thin and graceful like the fairy palaces my old grandma used to tell about down home in the hills.
Yeah, they
torn them down now. Or else blocked them up with cinder blocks.
Birchman, when I stand out here in the canal, I can see it the way it used to be. The water, ice blue, with the stars shining up out of it. Way off there, the city with a tower sweeping up like a bird flying off a tree. I can see it.
Now it's the dirtiest stinkhole in the system.
Not to me. Listen, Hertzman.
Bone tire the race that raised the towers. Forgotten are their lords. Long gone the gods who shed the tears that lapped these crystal shores. Slow beats the time-worn heart of Mars beneath this icy sky. The thin air whispers voicelessly that all who live must die.
I can't figure it myself. I never put words together like that before. I reckon it's just I got time now to study the words and shine them up in my head till they sing true.
Why don't you go home, Riesling?
Home?
Earth.
I've been thinking about that, Hertzman. When I was a young'un down in the Ozarks, I used to climb a big old oak tree my daddy had in the dooryard. You could see the hills for miles, green and cool. I've been thinking about that.
Well, why don't you go back then?
Someday, Hertzman, but I couldn't face those hills now. I couldn't stand to see black when I knew there was lying all around me, cool and green in the sun. I couldn't stand that.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to town, Hertzman. I made $3.50 Martian today, and I'm all set to drink it down before dawn. Come on.
Well, I think he's a dandy singer.
I late high school years, I really got into the different folk music groups, and I really got into a lot of those. And so, yeah, the singer here is actually not the guy playing the actor. The singer is Tom Glaser, and he did a bunch of Civil War songs, which I've used on productions for the Radio Reading Service. Most people would remember him as the guy who sang and recorded On Top of Spaghetti.
All Covered with Cheese?
All Covered with Cheese.
Oh, my goodness. It's a classic. It's a rock classic.
Yeah, it does sound a bit like the Mighty Wind stuff. I loved that, of course, being a folk. And that was kind of a parody of that. And all that was written by that, even the music was written by those actors and such. They played all their own instruments. They wrote their own songs. And I tell you what, they sounded like classic 60s folk stuff to me. It just really... really, really cool.
As is 60s folk music. Mighty cool stuff. And we got a pretty cool pretty cool radio program for you today.
Yep, turn on them lights. Whoops.
That's right.
They're on.
You're not driving, are you? Turn on the lights. Ah!
yeah. Nope, not driving. Now, it angers me, though, people that don't turn their lights on. You know, Well, I can see where I'm going. Your lights are there as much for other people to see you as you to see other people. Come on, knucklehead, turn your stinking lights on like you're supposed to.
Yeah, or else... or else we'll hit you.
Or else you won't. Yes.
Yes. One of the two.
Yes. You will or you won't, but you should. So you do it.
And therefore, Watch how it goes.
And therefore, and
good old Bob and Bob's being in the chat. Thanks for joining us today. As we and billions and billions of others we can't see.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of your that last stop you made at McDonald's again, Dale. You know,
billions and billions.
Billions.
We're gonna have some bonus radio. I'm almost positive today. Almost positive. We're gonna have bonus radio.
Yeah. Yep. Bonus radio. A bonus time. We're gonna have some bonus time.
Yep.
Haven't had the wheel in a few weeks. Time to get that thing cranked out.
Yeah, we gotta dust off the wheel. Give that a spin, perhaps, in a little bit. But foist. Let's hear the rest of the Green Hills of Earth and more of that jamming tune. I'd like to hear them do death metal to folk music. That'd be kind of cool.
I lost track of Riesling after that. I shipped out in a slow freight to the Condor class for Luna, and he hits the hike to Venusberg in an ore ship in the Triplanet run. So he beat around the system, Venusberg, Layport, to Drywater, to New Shanghai, and back. Any space port was his home, and no skipper refused to lift the extra mass of Riesling and his guitar. He made up his songs, sitting out watches down in the power rooms with old shipmates, while the monotonous beat of the jets shook the hull plates. Hear the jets.
Hear the jets.
Hear them snarl at your back when you're stretched on the rack.
Hear the jets.
Feel the pain in your ship. Feel a strain in your grip.
Hear the jets.
Feel her rise. Feel her drive. Strain and steel come alive on her jets.
On her jets.
Little by little, his songs began to travel along with spaceways ahead of him. Raw spaceman songs. A different kind of song. Strange, sad songs, like the ones you find printed in the Centennial Editions. Well, there's one called Dark Star Passing and Death Song of a Weed Cold. And then finally, The Green Hills of Earth. It grew for 20 years, that song. They say it started way back when Riesling was down in the labor camps in Venus singing for the indentured men. When Riesler, well, when he hit Venus, he'd always head out for the backwoods to sing for him.
First, if someone will kindly pass a bottle.
Oh, it ain't much, Riesling. Here.
It'll do. Oh, what is that stuff?
Tequila. You can't make him good here on Venus.
What do you use?
Karak bush. Home it is. It is different.
How'd you come to sign on?
When a man comes out the village from the city, he says there's work. You sign the paper and you work. Work. It's work, all right. 10 stinking hours in the jungle with machete.
How long you signed for?
Well, 10, I only speak Spanish. I don't know. The paper says 10 years. 10 years?
How long you got to go?
What's the use? We ain't getting home. You know how many men die out there in the swamp today? 10 men. 10. What's the use? My mother, she's dead. My father don't care.
Girl?
Oh, she says she's waits. I don't know. You sing some more, Riesling. We drink and you sing, huh?
Maybe a new song, son.
We rot in the molds of Venus. We retch out of tainted breath.
See?
Foul are her flooded jungles, crawling with unclean death. We've tried each spinning space moat and reckoned its true worth. Take us back to the homes of men and the cool green hills of earth. Take us back.
What's the matter? Finish the song, Riesling.
I can't yet. It just don't come. I'll finish it.
When I go home, that's it. When I go home to the hills. Now pass that bottle. A dawn whistle don't blow for 4 hours.
That's where the Green Hills started. And I was there when it was finished. It was 20 years after that. And there wasn't a man flying or on the beach that hadn't heard of Riesling in his songs. He was getting old now for a spaceman. He was a familiar figure through the system. Tall, gaunt, with that dirty bandage tied across his blind eyes. I was a chief jetman then on the old Falcon. We were cradled at Venus, Ellis Isle, scheduled for a direct jump to Great Lakes, Illinois, on Earth. I was checking in Dunnage when Riesling felt his way up the gangway and came through the loft.
Hey, Riesling.
Who's that?
Mike Hertzman.
Hertzman.
What are you doing in this old hog bowl?
Well, I figured I'd ride it back to Earth.
Earth? You going home, Riesling? I thought you were never going to make that run. What changed your mind?
Oh, I've been hankering to set foot in the Ozarks again.
Yeah, how about those hills?
I've been singing about them so long now, Hertzman. I got to finish the song. I got to set foot in the dooryard and hear the wind through that oak tree. It's about the last thing I'll be doing. I got to get home before...
Look, Riesling, there's a new company policy in effect now. No more deadhead rides, a new code book's in force.
Oh, that don't bother me none. I'm riding her back to Earth. I'm going to finish my song. It's got to be there.
Yeah, but the skipper's one of them youngsters fresh out of Harriman Institute cadet training. He'll throw the book at you.
At me? I've been around space as long as Halley's Comet and Bruce's Ridge. I'm going back to Earth. Ooh, green hills of Earth. I'm going home.
All secured, Hertzman?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing here?
This is Riesling, Captain.
Riesling, huh?
I'm dragging it back to Earth, Captain.
Not in this ship. Shake a leg and get out of here.
Oh, no, Captain, you wouldn't begrudge an old man a trip home.
I can't do it. Space Precautionary Code Clause 6. Now, come on, clear out.
Oh, now, look, Skipper, you can slide me by under the distressed spaceman's coals in that code book.
Distressed spaceman, my eye. You've been bumming around the system for 30 years.
Oh, Skipper, you're making me do something I've never done to no one before. I'm an old man. An old blind man. I want to go home. I never crawled in front of a forest drop in my life, but you got to let me drag home. The law says a man's got a trip coming to him, and you can stretch for a poor old blind man. Now, can't you? You got to, Skipper.
All right, you old space rat, but keep out of the way. I run an efficient ship, and I don't want any trouble.
Oh, no, sir. No trouble. I'll just lay down to the power room. I'd kind of like to be near the jets when they blast off for Earth.
Sit down, Riesling. Take a load up.
Hey, thanks, Mac.
Power room, fire 3.
Aye, sir. Have you seen these new automatic tampers, Reason? Don't have to do nothing, just sit and watch.
Yeah, where's the peeper?
Turned off. It's all automatic.
You youngsters have it solved. When I was twisting her tail, you had to stay awake. You got the old hand damping plates on?
All but the links. I unshipped them. They cover up the dials.
You might need them.
Oh, the automatics handle everything. Well, you're finally going home, Reason, huh? Won't seem the same out past the moon.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this a long time, Mac. Gonna be good to get home, I reckon.
The arching sky is calling spacemen back to their trip.
Mac! Mac! I got the emergency!
The hand dampers!
Here's a leak! Mac! Mac!
Mac! They ought to be on the wall somewhere here. I got them.
Emergency squad coming in.
Stay out. The plate is hot. Radiation blast.
Stay behind the
baffle. I got the link shift. I can
hand damper
now.
What's going on in there?
I'm spilling jet 3.
Is this
McDougal? McDougal's dead. This is Riesling on water.
Riesling, get out of there. You'll kill yourself.
Don't worry, Skipper. I know this power room like the inside of my shirt. Somebody's got the damper.
Riesling, I'm sending in a crew.
No use. The whole room will be hot for an hour and the other jets won't hold. Oh, Skipper, throw on recording tape.
What?
throw on a recording tape. I got a song to finish. And I got to make it right now. Yeah, I can hear it.
Riesling, the radiation will burn you down.
She's clear now, Skip. She'll burn out clean.
Riesling, are you all right?
I reckon. Pretty sharp sunburn. You'll pick me out of here with tongs and bury me in a lead shield coffin. Radiation's getting bright. I can almost see. Bright and rosy like the sun. Like the sun over the hills down home.
We pray for one last landing on the globe that gave us birth. Let us rest our eyes on the fleecy skies of the cool green hills of Earth.
That's the way he died. Riesling, the blind singer of the spaceways, singing of the home he never reached, the cool green hills of Earth.
You have just heard X-1, transcribed by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction. Tonight's story, The Green Hills of Earth, written by Robert Heinlein and adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Ken Williams as Riesling, Nelson Olmsted as Hertzman, Matt Crowley as Hicks, Wendell Holmes as Casey, Bill Griffiths as Rodriguez, Bill Lipton as the Skipper, and William Zuckert as McDougal. Original music for Riesling songs was written and sung by Tom Glazer. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Fred Way and is an NBC Radio Network production. Now, next week, the strange story of Dr. Grimshaw's sanitarium and of a patient there who suddenly found himself involved in a game of cat and mouse. But the man had actually been reduced to the size of a mouse while the cat remained full size. What happened then? You'll learn next week.
Convicts tell their true stories on The Loser, tonight over most NBC radio stations.
Losers. Oh my God. I missed that one.
Clearly not very good criminals. You're on a show called The Loser.
Yeah, not only did they get caught, they're on a show called The Losers.
That's right. Oh,
you know,
my goodness.
You mentioned you wouldn't hear Tom Glazer do Def Leppard. It reminded me of when I was at Mike Baseball. I said, you know, I think what really would have been cool, I think he would have made it, too, that if Al Jolson had done disco. And he went on YouTube and found this guy that, you know, could sing and do bird whistles like Al Jolson, and even did a disco-type number of one of the songs. God. I couldn't find it. I searched it, but what I did find was something really unique and interesting. I know this is a guy, Nigel Dreiner. He posted it on Facebook. He put this together. And he says so many don't know that Elvis's version of Are You Lonesome Tonight was heavily based on Al Jolson's recording from 1948. I have that. It was re-released on the Decca Records. He recorded, made these recordings for Jolson Sings Again. It said that Elvis recorded the song because he loved Jolson's version so much. Anyways, attempts have been made over the years to combine both recordings for a Jolson-Elvis duet. But due to both versions being in different keys, many said it was impossible. Well, thanks to some of these new AI programs that allow you to separate vocals from the recordings, I was able to create my best attempt at combining them for a duet. That for sure would have happened if Jolson had lived into the TV era. So if you're not afraid, Dale, I'm going to click this on.
I'm petrified. Do it anyway.
No, I mean, this is the guy that put it together. No, actually, here we go.
L-W-B-0-106.
Take 72.
I'll tell you what, let's try it one more time. Fire crack one more time.
Nice and soft because I don't know them.
One, two, three, four.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight?
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart?
Does your memory stray to a bright summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart?
Do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare?
Do you gaze at your doorstep and picture me there? Is your heart filled with pain?
Shall I come back again?
Come here, are you lonesome tonight? Is your heart filled with pain?
Shall I come back again?
Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
Well done, Dave. Well done.
Yeah, I mean, it was really pretty cool. And I do have the Jolson's, because it was recorded from on the 78. It was made for the movie, then released on the 78. And then onto an album as The Best of Jolson. And I have there were like three or four albums that we put out, because they couldn't just lip sync to Al's earlier songs because of his lung issue and of course the smoking, his voice had changed an octave. So
yeah,
he recorded many of his original songs in 1948 for Jolson Sings Again. And you don't hear it as much here because they put a lot of reverb in there. And again, that's probably to help hide some of the differences and such. But this guy did an amazing job, especially since they were originally in two different keys.
That was well done. I would have liked to have had that when I had my DJ career, because if you recall, for about a year, I got to work at the Marriott. You know, this is my big hotel gig. All right. And most DJs had some kind of signature song or something for the end of the night. And for that particular place, they had a 12-inch of, a 12-inch record, 12-inch single of Elvis singing Are You Lonesome Tonight? But it's a live version.
Yep.
And he's cracking up.
Yeah.
And it was hysterical. And that lightheartedness from Elvis got everybody laughing in the bar and sent him out at the end of the night on a good note.
You know the story behind that, don't you?
He was
doing it live, and there was a guy up near the front row, and as the night went on and he got to the song, the guy's toupee was slipping down onto his forehead and towards his face. And when Elvis caught him doing that, he was singing his song. And he absolutely lost it. And that's why he put through in this line about something. Do you gaze at your bald head unless you had hair? Unless you had hair, you know, you look at your bald head. Yeah, that's what that was about, because his toupee had slipped down as obviously trying to impress somebody.
That's hilarious.
And Elvis just, he absolutely lost it. So.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And that was a lot of fun. Okay, and speaking of fun, we've got some more Over the Hill, like as in Overhill, Overdale. Dale is Over the Hill, so let's play Sleep No More. Tell us a little bit about this series, Dave.
A little bit about Sleep No More. I know I got it here somewhere. Here we are. Sleep No More actually was the second horror series spoken word. Like last night we had the word Minds, which was spoken word. Well, second horror series of spoken words tales recited by Nelson Olmsted. The first was Black Night in 1937. I don't know if any of those recordings have survived. We'll have to check that out. Sleep No More began as a 15-minute series, but in November of 56, it expanded to 30 minutes. Now, Olmsted would read classic short stories and perform them, all the different voices of the characters. Music and sound effects were added in the background. Some, if not all, the readings were pre-recorded. Not only was a magnetic tape used before commonplace in the 1950s, but one can detect a slight edit at the beginning of one of the sentences during the performance of Waxworks. About a third into it over the Olmsted says, the eyes of the doctor, Bordet's effigy, haunted and tormented him. Yet even with the advantages that such technology afforded, Olmsted's ability to change voices between distinct characters is impressive. He had plenty of practice for radio, as he had done in Black Chapel and the Black Castle series. Sleep No More is a fine example of a reader's theater and pre-published short stories at its best. Now, as I said, it started off as a 15-minute show. It went to half an hour. But when it was half an hour, what they did is they did two 15-minute stories, or actually you're very close to 15 minutes apiece. And this is actually from the half hour, but only the one story, the one that we have here, Over the Hill, related to our show, so I kind of split it off with an open and close from the half hour show.
Hey, if you could sneak back into the chat, Dave, CW is hoping for a link for that Elvis Jolson duet, if there is such a link.
Oh, okay. I will do that. I guess I hit a wrong button, didn't I? Yep, I did.
I wouldn't mind that link myself. That's a fun thing there.
I will get that up there and...
Very good. We're going to have bonus time for bonus radio. I know we are now, because there's only one part to this story from Sleep No More called Over the Hill. Do we have a broadcast date on this one, Dave?
We do. It was from December 5th of 1956.
Ooh.
In just a moment, Sleep No More. But first...
Summertime. Sounds like Charlie Spivak. Oh, yes, NBC Bandstand. Burt Park, Vaughn Monroe, Freddie Martin this week. Sure helps the morning along. That finishes the dishes. Now, let's see. Better get some shopping done. I can listen to NBC Bandstand in the car.
Anywhere, everywhere, it's NBC Bandstand. And now stay tuned for Sleep No More on NBC. This is Nelson Olmsted. Sleep No More. Sleep No More. Turn down the lights. Sink back in your chair and don't look into the shadows. In the shadows, there may be moving things. Tonight, it may be, you will sleep no more. Good evening.
This is Ben Grauer introducing tonight's tale of terror, told by Nelson Armstead on the National Broadcasting Company's presentation of Sleep No More. The story of terror can be as simple as a sheeted ghost rattling chains. It can be a complex and hidden world of horror, lurking in such unholy dimensions as only the dead and the moonstruck can glimpse. Or it can be those terrible, fathomless shadows which lie buried deep in the primitive mind of civilized man. And for this evening, well, Nelson Armstead, tell us about this evening's story.
Once again, Ben, we have two stories for the price of one, and this time both are by the same fine writer, Michael Fessier. The first one is Over the Hill, and is about a man who lives in his imagination for three glorious days. I guess it was imagining things that brought it about. I mean, imagining some things and not imagining others, not even daring to think about them. Oh, I'd always liked to imagine about going over the hill and finding everything changed, but I never let myself imagine the other thing at all. Just the same, I must have been thinking about it, or it wouldn't have happened. I suppose I must have been thinking about it and didn't know I was. Oni, my wife, had been getting on my nerves, and it got so that even when I was away from her, she bothered me. When I was home, she nagged me, and when I was away, I thought about her nagging, and it was just as bad thinking about it as it was hearing it, and she cried, too, and that's what I hated most, her crying. She would cry, and I would try to get away from the sound, but I couldn't. I would go outside, and if I couldn't hear her crying, I would think about it, and it was as bad as hearing it. Nagging and crying. Oh, it's a wonder I didn't go crazy. The only times I had peace was when I'd think things to myself. It was hard not to think of Oni and her nagging and her crying, but sometimes I managed it, and then I was happy in my way. I like best to think about that hill. It was about halfway between San Ramon, where I lived, and the city. It would be nice, I would think, if sometime I would drive over the hill, and on the other side, everything would be different. The service station and the nursery and the dairy farm would be gone, and something different would be there. There wouldn't be any job to go to, and there wouldn't be any home to come back to. I was thinking this on that day, and when I drove over the hill, I found everything was different on the other side. The service station and the nursery and the dairy farm were gone, and it seemed like a park. The sun was shining, and there were a lot of colored flowers in the grass, and the water in the creek was blue. And there are probably a lot of children, I thought. And then I said, "My Lord, this is the other side of the hill, and it is different." And then it seemed quite natural, and I wasn't amazed or frightened. I just took it for granted. I don't remember getting out of the car, but I realized that I was walking through the grass and smelling the flowers, and the flowers were beautiful, and their odor was sweet. But what I liked best was the smell of the grass and the earth. The earth smelled as if there had just been a rain. I wasn't surprised at all when I saw the children. It was as if the flowers had come to life. They wore bright clothes, and they moved about as if the wind were playing with them. And they called out to me and smiled at me, and I felt that they knew me and weren't a bit surprised to see me walking among them. I walked as if I knew where I was going and what I would find. I took a path that branched off from the one I was following, and I came to a house that was white and had flowers growing around the base. The stream flowed through the yard, and the water was blue except where the sun shone on it and made it gold. A woman came out and smiled at me, and I smiled at her and said hello. She was beautiful, and I knew how her voice would sound even before she spoke. It was soft and kind and happy, and she sat on a white bench that had vines around the legs and back, and she motioned for me to sit down beside her. I sat down and took off my hat and threw it on the grass, and I felt the breeze blowing through my hair, and I said, "I've been a long way off, and I've come a long way back." I didn't know why I said it, but she understood, and she nodded and smiled. I said, "You're beautiful and kind." And she said, "Everything is beautiful. You're beautiful." And I thought a while. I guess I am in a way, but I didn't know it.
You forgot.
Yes, I forgot.
It has been a long time.
Yes, it has been a long time.
But it isn't anymore.
No, It isn't. There were two children playing in the grass, and I called to them, and they came over to me, and they smiled and sat down beside me, and I thought, I'm remembering again. I'm remembering something I didn't know. If I were to ask them who they were, they would tell me. But I don't have to ask them, because I remember. The woman went into the house, and we followed her. She sat at a piano, and she played tunes that I had never heard, but that I knew. It was music that rippled and flowed, and then laughed and bubbled. I watched her hands as they moved over the black and white glistening keys, and I thought, it wouldn't matter if there was no piano and no music. Just watching her hands would be enough. It was night, and then it was day again. And I woke up feeling that it didn't matter that the night had gone, because the day would be wonderful too, and then night would come again. And night came again, and day came again, and the woman and the children and I were together. We walked, and we talked, and we rested, and the walking was fun, and the resting was fun, and the talking was fun. But I don't know what we talked about, or even what I thought. I don't believe I thought. The woman was beautiful and kind and happy, and the children were happy, and I was happy. But I didn't think, she's beautiful and kind and happy, and the children are happy, and I am happy. Because that was what should have been. It always was what should have been and always should be. Over the hill and on the other side, things were as they should have been. Things were as they always should be. It's hard for me to describe the change. I guess it wasn't a change at all. The thing was, and then it wasn't, and because it wasn't, it never had been. You can't change from something that never was to something that is. I had a dream last night, I thought, and I remembered it a while back, and now it's gone. I was over the hill and on the other side, and I was driving my car to work and thinking about my wife, Oni, and her nagging and crying, and I was thinking about how the crying was even worse than the nagging, and I thought it'd be nice to think about the dream, but I can't remember it. Then I was in the office, and I was wondering why the others looked startled when they saw me, and I wondered why some of them looked startled and frightened, and it was time for the conference to start, and I went to the boss's office. And he looked startled, too, and he said, "Good Lord, what are you doing here?" "Why, I came in for the Monday conference." He said something to his secretary, and she left the office. "It isn't Monday. It's Wednesday. And even if it were Monday, what made you come to this office? Didn't you know they were looking for you?" 2 days, I thought. 2 days. This morning I got up and it was Monday. But while I was over the hill and on the other side, it became Wednesday. And then I remembered and I thought, it wasn't a dream. This is Wednesday. It isn't Monday at all. It's Wednesday. The boss's secretary came in, and with her was a policeman. And she pointed to me and then ran across the room, and she was frightened. The policeman grabbed me by the arm and hurled me against the wall, and he put his hand in his gun, and he said, "You better come quietly." "Well, why should I go with you at all?"
"Now, don't play innocent."
"I'm not playing anything. I just don't know what you're talking about."
"I'm talking about your wife, and you know darn well I am."
"My wife? My wife? Why?"
"Because you killed her Monday. And you know that darn well, too."
This isn't Monday, I thought. It's Wednesday. It isn't Monday. It's Wednesday. And it seemed I should laugh at the policeman or become angry or shout to Niles, but I didn't. I felt I had to say something just to break up the silence in the room. I didn't kill my wife Monday.
"Well, maybe it was Sunday night then. My Lord, you're dumb. You didn't even change your clothes."
"Why should I change clothes?" The policeman pointed at the sleeve of my gray suit.
"Why shouldn't you have changed? That's why. What's that on your sleeve?"
I looked at it, and remembering and thinking ceased to be, and I said, "Oh, yes, I see. It's a bloodstain."
Thank you.
You can turn up the lights now. You can look around you. Nobody is there, really. Everything is all right, isn't it? Step over here, Nelson Olmsted, and tell us about next week's story.
Well, next week, Ben, we have a story of breathtaking suspense by a past master of it. It's called 3 o'clock. Its author is William Irish. You'd better be there.
You have been listening to Sleep No More, an NBC Radio Network production directed by Kenneth McGregor. Mr. Olmsted's albums are recorded exclusively for Vanguard Records. Until next week, when Nelson Olmsted will again be here in person, this is Ben Grauer bidding you good night.
Chilling.
Our life expectancy average could be even more impressive than it is if it weren't for the high accident rate on our nation's highways. Would you be willing to drive carefully so today's children will have a better chance to live out the long life medical science has made possible?
Nope.
I didn't take long to come with that answer.
I'm driving just as fast as I damn well please. No. That's not right.
You know, it's just interesting there. You know, I also posted, if you catch it, didn't catch it, that this Nigel guy, he also put together a duet with Frank Sinatra and Al Jolson, and it was Rockabye Your Baby. Very interesting and a lot of fun. I'm a big Al Jolson fan. I am. And I think one of my favorite duets that he actually did do was on Bing Crosby's radio show when he was at Philco Radio Time, where the two of them sang "The One I Love Belongs to Someone Else." Now, Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra did a real fun version, but it's just a whole different tone to it of, again, "The One I Love Belongs to Somebody Else." It's just absolutely one of my very favorite duets that Al Jolson did.
Yep.
So.
Good stuff. And let's see. We've got some time left, Dave. If you'd like to give us a call, folks. 646-378-0264. If it's a rotary phone, dial carefully, even though it won't really connect.
That's why you got to dial carefully.
That's right. It's just going to be fun watching you spinning that thing like crazy and not getting through. We got time for, oh gosh, how about a wheel?
A lot.
We haven't done a wheel in a little while.
Want to do a wheel? Okay. I probably your turn to step up there, Dale.
All right, let me haul my fat behind up to the dais here. Reach up to the top and give it a tug.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, has a golf appointment with his boss this morning, and he's promised to meet him on the golf course, rain or shine. As our scene opens, Daddy's alarm clock is calling insistently.
Okay. Oh, boy, am I tired.
Hello, Daddy. Here. I made you some coffee.
Coffee? Looks like plain water to me.
Make believe, Daddy. Make believe it's coffee.
All right, it's coffee.
Drink it.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful coffee, Snooks.
You like it? I'll make some more.
No, don't go to any more trouble, Snooks.
That ain't no trouble, Daddy. I got it from the goldfish bowl.
What?
Ain't it good coffee?
Oh, what's the matter with you, Snooks? Is that all you could think of to give me for breakfast, water from the goldfish bowl?
I was only playing house, Daddy.
Well, that's no way to play. No child makes a father drink the water from a goldfish bowl.
I did.
Now, don't get smart. Snooks, I'd just like to go for one whole day without giving you a spanking.
All right, Daddy. I'll let you.
Go back to bed.
Why?
Because it's too early for you to be up.
Why are you up?
Well, I have a golf appointment, and I've got to hurry.
Won't you read me the funny?
No, I haven't got time.
Why?
Because I'm going to play golf.
Who is Daddy?
With my boss. And it's very important that I be there on time. He gets very mad if I'm late.
Who does?
My boss.
Who's he?
He's the man I work for. Get out of my way. I got to hurry and wash.
Oh, read me the funny.
No, now go back to bed this instant.
If you don't read me the funny, your boss is going to get mad.
Well, why should my boss be mad?
Because you'll be late.
No. Who teaches you these wonderful tricks?
Nobody. I make them up.
Oh, you're looking for a spanking this morning.
Oh, you need a buddy.
I will not. Now, if you waste another second of my time, I'll tan you good. Now, stay out of the bathroom till I get through.
What you going to do, Daddy?
I'm going to shave. I don't want you bothering me.
Why?
Because I'm late already. I should have left 10 minutes ago.
Where are you going?
To play golf.
Who is?
I told you, you're my boss.
Okay.
Snooks, if you ask me one more question, I'll jump in the bathtub and drown myself.
Let me run the water, Daddy.
Oh. And they think they got trouble in Europe.
Huh?
Nothing. Get out of here and let me shave.
I want to watch.
Oh, Snooks. How can you be so nasty to your poor old daddy? I work like a slave to see that you have everything and you won't let me have this a little fun.
Oh, what's so funny about it?
You sound like Mommy.
Well, never mind that. Mommy's up in the country enjoying herself while I...
Holy smoke. You want to do something for Daddy Snooks?
What's the matter, Daddy?
Listen, Mommy called last night and told me to order a bathing suit for her. I'll be on the golf course, so you call the store as soon as it opens.
All right.
Now listen carefully. Order a bathing suit. Large girl size, salmon color, fastened by one large pearl button with two little holes in it. Can you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Have it charged to me. Just tell them who I am and it'll be all right. Now, what are you going to say?
I want a large bathing suit for a girl fastened in it with a pearl salmon. Just tell me who I am and I'll be all right.
Not pearl salmon, button.
Uh-huh.
Button, button.
Button, button. Who's got the button? Let's play, Daddy.
I have no time to play. Will you order that suit?
What suit?
What did I just ask you to do?
You want a large swimming hole with a pearl-colored girl and two salmon in it?
No, no.
A little swimming suit for a large salmon.
What are you talking about?
For a girl with no buttons.
Ah, forget it. If she wants to swim, let her wear an apron. Well, I got to finish shaving. Oh, brother, I'll never make it.
Make what, Dad?
My appointment.
Where are you going?
I told you 50 times to play golf.
Who is?
My boss!
Who's
he? The man I work for!
Oh. I want to go with you.
Oh, you can't go with me.
Why?
Because you drive me crazy on a golf course.
Then read me the funny.
No, look out. I'm going to get my clubs and get out of here fast. Where are my clubs? Well, I know I left them in this closet.
I think I'll go to bed now.
Snooks, you wait a minute. Where are my golf clubs?
If I tell you, will you take me with you?
No.
Then I don't know where they are. Goodbye.
Come here. All right, tell me where they are and I'll take you.
You promised, Daddy?
Yes, I promise. Where are my clubs?
I gave them to the junk man yesterday.
What for?
For a stack of funny papers.
You little...
Don't leave, folks. Baby Snooks and Daddy will be back later on in the program, and you'll meet them on the golf course.
Cost me $2 to rent these broken-down clubs, and then I find the boss didn't wait for me. I'll probably get fired, too. Come on, let's get out of here.
Aren't you going to play golf, Daddy?
No, no use going out without... Oh, wait a minute. I might as well play 9 holes. I paid my green fees and rented the clubs. But I'll play only on one condition, Snooks. You must remain absolutely quiet when I go to hit the ball.
I promise, Daddy.
All right. Let me get a ball out of the bag.
Here's one, Daddy.
Where'd you get that, Snooks?
I found it when we was walking over here.
Oh. Are you sure it was lost?
Mm-hmm. I see the man looking for it.
Oh, well, I'll turn it in later. Now stand back. I want to take a practice swing with this driver. Not bad, eh? How do you like my form, Snooks?
I think you're very pretty, Daddy.
All right. Now I'm going to start. Now, don't get too close.
What you doing?
I'm putting the ball on the tee.
Is that tee? Looks like dirt.
It is dirt.
You said it was tea.
I know I did, but this tea isn't the same as the tea you drink.
Why?
Because one is a beverage and the other is ground.
I thought coffee was ground.
Coffee is ground, but this is a different tea and a different ground. Does that answer your question?
I didn't ask you nothing.
Well, don't. Now keep quiet and let me hit the ball.
All right. Daddy!
What is it?
Where you going to hit it to?
You see that flag way down there?
Is today a holiday?
No, today's not a holiday.
Then why have they got all the flags here?
Those flags indicate the position of the green.
What green?
Where the hole is. Whenever you see a flag, there's a hole.
Then why don't they fix it?
Fix what?
The hole in the flag.
The flag hasn't got a hole in it. The green has a hole in it.
Why?
So I can crawl in and pull it over my head. Now stop that yelling. Now move back a little. And don't make a sound. You just watch the ball when I hit it.
All right, Daddy.
Now, head down, right hand over. Bring the club back slowly.
Daddy!
Oh, what is it now?
Why don't you hit the ball?
That's what I'm trying to do.
Then why are you putting the stick around your neck?
Oh, leave me alone. How will I ever shoot a par?
Huh?
I'm trying to shoot a par.
Whose par are you going to shoot, Daddy?
Nobody's par. I said par, not pa. The object of the game is to shoot par.
Why don't you shoot ma, Daddy?
Now, don't give me ideas. Now, just let me drive off this first tee. People are all staring at us.
All right.
Now, don't make a sound. Now, here I go. Knees bent. Left shoulder down. Eye on the ball.
You missed it, Daddy.
Tough course. Well, I guess this rented driver's no good. Oh, I wish I had a brassy.
Why?
Well, this cheap outfit only has 5 sticks. I usually carry 10.
Why?
Because I need them. Hagen has about 20. Alex Morrison has 24. Charlie Lacey has 26. And
all of us have 31 except February, which has 28. Ain't I smart, Daddy?
Yeah, you're very smart. Now, keep quiet for 2 minutes and let me hit this ball. Stand back. Eye on the ball. Firm grip. Right hand over. Come back slowly. Well, go ahead and talk if you're going to.
I ain't going to talk, Daddy.
Okay. Back slowly.
Daddy!
Oh, why did you do that?
I want to hit the ball.
Wait till we get off this first tee, and then I'll let you hit it. Now, keep quiet. I'm going to cloud it.
Whee!
Where'd it go, Snooks? I didn't see it.
Right under your foot.
Guess I'm a little off my game. I never played so badly before.
Have you ever played before, Daddy?
Yes, I played before, Daddy.
Come on, let's walk down the fairway a little. These people watching me make me nervous.
Ain't you going to hit the ball, Daddy?
Yes, as soon as we get a little close to the hole. Now, come on. Walk fast, Snooks.
All right.
Now, I'm going to drop the ball right here. I'll drop it over my shoulder so I won't be cheating. Now, this is about a 4-iron shot. Head down.
Head down.
Find the ball.
Find the ball.
Sway the hips.
Sway the hips.
Back slow.
Back slow.
Oh, stop that. Just turn around for 1 second. That's it. Now.
Did you hit it, Daddy?
And how? Carried over 60 yards, straight as an arrow. Except it's a little out of bounds.
Is that good?
Not bad. Now, come on. I don't want to lose that ball.
Let me hit it, Daddy.
In a minute. I think the ball went out right about here.
Here's the ball, Daddy. I found it.
Oh, what a bad lie. Why, nobody but a professional could make this shot to the green.
Let me do it, Daddy.
All right, go ahead, you little smart aleck. I bet you won't even move the ball an inch. Take this club.
Which way shall I hit it?
Well, you see that flag? Aim for that. Now, just keep your head down and your eye on the ball and...
Don't tell me. I want to hit it myself.
Al, go ahead.
Stand back.
Well, I'll be... What a shot. Dead to the pin.
No good?
Why, it's a miracle. Come on, let's see how close it is.
All right.
Why, Snooks, look at that ball. 4 inches from the cup.
What do I have to do now, Daddy?
Make it go in that little hole. Oh, what are you yelling about?
Why didn't you tell me when we were back there?
Ah, come on, we're going home.
Damn mouse has been stuck all night, gang. Sorry about that, but that was Baby Schnooks with Fanny Bryce.
Yep. The original daddy was none other than Alan Reed, Freddie Flintstone. Henley Stafford really was mostly known for him. He did it for the longest period of time. He also was one of your favorites on the radio, Blondie, Dale. He was Mr. Dithers on Blondie.
Ah, good stuff. I like the original Mr. Dithers from the movies.
Yes, yeah.
He was the best.
Yep. So much fun there, but all of them, even the radio, the television, and the movies, all were fun. I think you're right, though. I think the original movie series, which usually they were, what, 63, 67 minutes, thereabouts? Episodes,
yeah, most of them.
It's like mm-hmm. Like a TV show, but I think those were, of all of them that were portrayed, I think that was one of the best series, was the movies. I agree.
Yeah, they milked it for so long, they even tried doing a TV series, but once you didn't have Penny Singleton as Blondie, I didn't think, there's no way it can work. Not without Penny Singleton.
But then they had even had a Saturday morning cartoon later on with it, so I don't know who did the voices on that or not, but very, very interesting. Yeah, Hanley Stafford did a lot of different things, including mostly known as radio, but he did some television. He was in an episode of Lucy as a chaperone on the Lucy show. He was on Cheyenne, Maverick, Sugarfoot, 77 Sunset Strip, and the Brothers, Betty Hutton Show, and Angel, and was even portrayed Mr. Corwin in the 1961 episode of The Second Marriage. He was cast in 1957 as Colonel Farnsworth in the Regina Wainwright story of CBS's The Millionaire. He did make a transition to television, but not, you know, mostly he's known for his great radio work over the years, and most of it is with Baby Schnooks and Daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the great Fanny Bryce as Baby Schnooks.
She was fantastic. A great, irritating character.
But she was also a comedian and a singer way back for the Ziegfeld Follies. And that's kind of where Baby Schnooks started to become a feature, was on the radio, Ziegfeld Follies on the air. So that's kind of where Baby Schnooks kind of was born and became that. And later on, it became its own show. And boy, did it take off. It did.
Yep.
Very much like the Bickersons were part of they were just occasional segments in the Egdeberg and Charlie McCarthy show. And one year they got rid of all the guests and just had their segments and then a Bickerson sketch. And then they split off to do their own shows, shows. Don Amici didn't stay with all the time, but they needed him, the gal. So they kind of, once they went to the radio, you really didn't get a full complement of the true Bickersons, but they were great. They were absolutely
yes.
great.
Yes, and CW mentioned that the legend does live on through the Dagwood sandwiches, which are fun to make. I love Dagwood sandwiches. You just get a little bit of everything and stack it up. Hey, we do have time, Dave. Let's get one more thing in here, so I also need an opportunity to regain my sight. I'll explain later. As we fool around with a little Hoagie Carmichael. We'll be back after a little tribute to Hoagie.
Back in 1927, a young fella named Hoagie Carmichael, who must have been born under a lucky star and whose career has been sprinkled with stardust, wrote a song called Stardust. Over 50 different versions of it have been recorded. Over 10 million recordings have been sold. And that's reason enough for him to be in your Radio Hall of Fame. But besides that, he composed Lazy Bones, Old Rockin' Chair, Georgia on My Mind, and scores of other beautiful melodies. Yes, his career has been sprinkled with stardust. And now he's an actor, a good one. He appeared in The Have and The Have Not with Humphrey Bogart, and the critics loved him. And so did you. And Paul Whiteman, who gave him his first chance to sing professionally in a recording of Hoagie's Washboard Blues, ably abetted by Janet Blair and Bob Graham, pays tribute to the Stardust Kid, Hoagie Carmichael.
even in the sun. How you expect to get your day's work done? Never get your day's work done. Sleeping in the noonday sun. Oh, lazy bones, sleeping in the shade. How you expect to get your cornmeal made? Never get your cornmeal made. Sleeping through the evening shade. When taters need spraying, I bet you keep praying the bugs fall off of the vine. And when you go fishing, I bet you keep wishing fish won't grab at your line. Loafing through the day, how you expect to make a dime that way? Never make a dime that way. Well, look at here, he never hear a word I say.
Hey, a little tribute to Hoagy Carmichael.
Yep, wrote some amazing songs, and I think I've seen him act in a couple things, too, so there you go.
I just remember the tribute to him on the Flintstones. Was that really him, or was that a spoof character?
I forget which one that was. I know they spoofed a lot of characters like...
Yeah.
And Marg Rock and things like that.
No, but this one, they actually called him Hoagy Carmichael.
Yeah, I think it may have been him. Now that you mentioned it, I'm trying to remember that episode. And he
Unless
actually
they called
played
him
the piano
Hoagy,
in that,
maybe?
Didn't he play the piano in that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah,
CW
yeah.
says, yes, it was him. Okay, good.
It's so good to have. It's great having CW here. She's always... helping us out and setting us straight.
As does Thogsbane and many of our other listeners, keeping us on the straight
yes.
and narrow and keeping our facts right, because facts matter.
Yeah. Sometimes.
At least when it comes to trivial matters. That's what's really important, I think.
We got trivia here. Yes, we do. Oh, my.
Yes, that's right. Hoagie was the one that sang the Yabba Dabba Doo song. You're right, CW. Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh. It's all flooding back. Yabba Dabba Dabba.
Yep. Yabba Dabba Dabba. Yabba Dabba Dabba.
Yabba Dabba Doo. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
We spent too much time in front of the TV, Dale.
They were on for so long in syndication, the Flintstones. I remember locally here, Channel 43 had them forever.
They did. And probably still in syndication in lots of places. It's just the new cartoons kind of have taken over, but they still can find them every once in a while.
Tubi has them. Places. Tubi has the old Flintstones for...
do they really? There you go.
As of now, yeah. And I've been catching a few of them. I love some of the ones with Harvey Korman. Of course, you can easily find them if you find a Gazoo episode.
Oh, the good old Great Gazoo, yeah.
But he played other side characters as well.
He is. That was just one show. You know, it was one of those rare shows. It was a primetime cartoon. I mean, Fox made Sunday night basically a cartoon lineup. But until that time, you know, they just came along once in a while. You had the Jetsons after the Flintstones, and then you had Johnny Quest. I can't think of a whole lot. Of course, there was I'm thinking now, Wait Till Your Father Gets Home.
Uh-huh.
That lasted one season. I'm trying to think. There was one that was half cartoon with William Wyndham. My World and Welcome to It. I remember watching that. The house would turn around. It was kind of a cartoon and would turn around and talk to him and things like that.
Yeah. CW mentioned she needs a PhD in tunes. I've got a great book for you, or you might be aware of it already, CW. I believe the author's name is Jeff Adams. He wrote a lot of different books on various things of interest to folks like us, including one on cartoons. It was a history, and it laid out everybody and the voices and what studios produced them. It was a pretty comprehensive book. It's a good a good reference material for voice people.
I have something right here. I just, now that you mentioned that, copy link. I interviewed a guy for a show that was one of two guys that wrote the book about the 100 greatest cartoon characters of all time, and they ranked them. I just posted it right. Ooh. There. Really ended up being a cool interview. I had it for about a year and a half before I actually threw it into one of my shows, thinking, okay, this is just nice little filler at some point. And when I threw it into a show, everybody was quiet. You know, I think it was on the Vortex. Somebody said something, quiet, I'm watching, you know, because it was interesting. It's about characters that we all grew up with and stuff. And they actually ranked a good deal of them. And, but not giving specific numbers to some of them so that you would buy his book. But, yeah, so that's a cool interview.
Real quick,
little,
what are we doing next week,
interview.
Dave? We got to get out of here.
Well, you know what we're doing. We're going to the dogs.
Oh, that's right. We're going to the dogs to celebrate, my puppy. We got a new collie puppy, Paladin, or Pal. So in a way, he's named after the original Lassie, and in a way, he's a knightly character. Cute little registered AKC pup, and now part of the K family here. And so we're going to go to the dogs. That's next weekend, Friday, 8:30. See you then, if I can get my mouse to work.
The castle lights are growing dim.
The hammer.
There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
So they missed the candle, that's all. Not too bad.
That's it. Time, that's it.
Not
too bad.
Timing. Yeah.
Well, my time with them has been off all stinking night long. So
I didn't want to take it for granted we were definitely doing the dogs, so that's kind of why I left it open-ended.
Oh, yeah. You said let's do it. I actually already have them downloaded. So.
Oh, sweet.
I'm already ahead of the game.
Yeah, you are. Look at you go. My little four-day weekend. I got one more day here with the pup.
Yeah, because you you did. You suggested, hey, let's do that. I said, okay. And I did what I could to put it together. There we are. Good
there
dog, bad dog. Good dog, bad dog.
Yeah, going through that right now as he's learning the boundaries here. He's mostly good, though. He's a cute little fella. Got a little I never realized how tiny a collie's eyes are. I mean, they're known to have eye issues, so that's something we'll have to watch for because he has a little.
Yeah, they in Dalmatians, yeah.
Yep, so we'll have to watch. Maybe we can go blind together. Hey, that's something to look forward to. It's interesting. Collies are supposed to be sensitive to changes in blood sugar, believe it or not. Yeah. And I found out some history on Lassie. We'll share that for the dog show, I guess.
Yeah.
Or for the dog weekend.
Share that for the
dog. Because I did not know that Lassie, the short story, was actually based on a real dog. And more about that.
Yes,
next week,
Virginia, there is a Lassie.
Yes, there was. And played by Pal for many, many, many years, and then Lassie Jr., who was the son of Pal, also played Lassie. And they had a particular little look. The Weatherwax family had bred into these rough collies, and they're great dogs.
Sounds like nepotism to me.
What's that? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know what? I was listening to, speaking of nepotism, I was listening to NPR on the way out to the funeral home today. And they had Noel Blank on there, and he was talking about his dad and how they got together, worked together one time in this series of Oldsmobile ads. And Mel wasn't feeling that good. Not that bad, but not that good. He was kind of run down and such. And so when Noel said, do you think I should just take him home? He says, yeah, you can take him home. Or if you really like, you can take him to the hospital. And let's clean out get him cleaned out, and then we'll send him home tomorrow. He says, okay. What happened is one of the nurses didn't put up the gate, and Mel fell out of bed and broke like a femur or something.
Oh,
and within 48 hours, he was dead.
What?
If he had not gone and stayed at the hospital, he was 81, but he would have lived longer.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And Noel was talking about the accident and how, you know, he spent that first, season and a half flat on his back, recording to Barney Rubble stuff. But it was just it was a really cool thing. I mean, I think it was Sound Labs. I'm going to have to find that and share that with you because.
I don't know. I'll have to reread. I have a book on Mel Blanc's life and the different things he experienced, including that horrible accident.
It was just talked about the drama was just getting him to come out, and it was like doing Bugs Bunny voices and things like that to kind of help draw Mel out of.
From what I read, he was in the hospital, and they were trying to get him to be responsive, and there was a Bugs Bunny cartoon, I think, playing on a TV in the room or something like that, and he started using the voice, and they finally, and then, of course, you know, Mel was in there.
yep.
And
So much work he did after that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of cartoons that...
Captain Caveman, a Speed Buggy. I'm trying to think of all the different shows. Saturday morning cartoons.
Also, live action, what was it, Buck Rogers, Tweaky?
Yeah, he was.
He was Tweaky, the robot.
Tweaky. So, yeah.
He's one of my heroes, so much... with an incredible range of voices.
And
growing up in the Oregon and California areas, he got the opportunity to listen to a lot of people from all over the world because these were port towns, you know? With people coming in from all over the world. So he got the opportunity to hear all these different character type voices and utilize them for cartoons, for the Jack Benny show, for everything he did all those years.
Yeah. And just all in all, nice guy. And was really almost relieved when his when they finally stopped making the Mel Blanc fix-it shops, because he was so much more comfortable coming in and doing lines and being a sidekick than to being the lead. And that he was the lead in that, as well as a couple other characters as well. But he was not disappointed when that show was done. Not because he didn't like it, not because he didn't think the scripts were funny. He was not that comfortable being the lead.
Too bad he could have been. He had that short-lived series that he did.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's a.
He was like a workman or something, wasn't he, in that TV show?
He was
a repair shop. Yeah, he had a repair shop or something.
I remember for the radio show it was the Fix-It Shop, yeah.
Oh, the radio show, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was the Fix-It Shop. So he was an all-around tinkerer on just about anything. Because, of course, things weren't very complicated back then. It was basically your wires were connected properly or they weren't, you know. Now everything's got computer chips in it and everything else. So,
yeah, it's crazy stuff. I'm already starting to think about Halloween.
Are you now?
Well, it's going to get harder and harder to have really, really good stuff for Halloween without repeating. And of course, we have the one thing we always repeat during the Halloween season, but
right, the War of the Worlds.
It's getting tougher and tougher to do it without repeating and keeping it really, really Halloween.
Well, it doesn't mean that not repeating is just a rule we put on ourselves. That doesn't mean we can't find a good horror story or something like that to redo.
True, true. We'll get one of the really old ones maybe at some point, but still not necessary. It's just getting more difficult. I saw a few of the things you have scheduled up ahead, and I want to pirate maybe one or two of those weekends for Halloween.
Absolutely. And the Radio Mystery Theater has a lot of really good horror weekends. It really does.
Yeah. And they'll certainly be of help to us, depending on what we theme up and what we do.
Yeah, yep.
There's so many different ways to go with it, because there's comical ones from the sitcoms, there's scary ones from the hosted shows. We'll do fine. We always do.
There's just so much material out there that it just always just keep digging and you know, that's one thing. When I'm listening at night to these shows, I said, man, I got to remember this one in the morning. I'm going to open up a different tab and listen to something else because I want to have this for the morning so I can go and see what else I can find to match it. That's literally how I come up with some of the weekends, because I'm always listening at night to old radio programs, as Gar is, listening to old radio programs. You know, just if you can't sleep, you might as well have something enjoyable to do, right?
Yeah, and it's a little more relaxing than television. You don't have to watch and focus or hold your head a certain way to, you know what I mean, to
yep.
watch the screen, and you just close your yep. eyes and let your imagination run rampant.
I'll tell you what I'm working on right now, Dale, between the other
yes.
shows and stuff. I'm working on remastering all of my original recordings. I have the original ones, and putting them into widescreen. I mean, recently, the last year or so that I've done them, although don't do them every month now, I put them in widescreen, but didn't start out that way. Because a lot of the outlets, as you know, were only in 4:3 when we started out, and they couldn't even air the widescreen. So now that everything's switched over to the widescreen, I'm remastering all these things, fixing some of the color and some of the sketches and stuff, and putting on the new open and closes. And one of these days, when I get that part done, I'm going to start uploading them as a second video onto the original page and having them available on archive.org in the new redone format. So.
You can always sell discs, Dave. I don't know. Do people even buy discs anymore?
They do a Gullardi Fest, but
I might be one of the last ones.
they still have it like these. They have the bins at Walmart and some other places where $5.
Oh,
yeah, I go look at them for $5. But you can always find something in there.
Oh yeah, yeah. You.
Heck, I got one of those. I got the complete Ray Bradbury Theater in one of those $5 bins once. Brand smacking new.
Nice. Well, we will be back on Friday at 8:30 Eastern. I think I better go and spell the wife in watching the young one.
Yeah, and watch that sugar too. Will you have the dog sniff you to make sure you're doing okay?
Yeah, I just had a little crash there. I need a little something sugary, but not too sugary. So thank you, non-sugar added ice cream.
There you go.
Delicious way to regain, get that spot out of in front of my eyes.
Yep, absolutely. All right, sir. Well, you have a very good one. And we'll see everyone next week. So come on out, Mr. James Durante.
Good night. It's time to say good night. What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
We got power then.